You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. If you believe in fate, maybe serendipity, I have a feeling this new book, Just Haven't Met You Yet, will be a must read. And the author of the book, New York Times bestselling author, Sophie Guzzins, is joining us today to chat more about it. Welcome to the program.
Thank you so much for having me on. It's lovely to be on. Thank you.
Well, so without giving too much away, and basically part of this is because I'm almost finished with the book, so I don't want you to give me any spoilers. Tell us about the premise of this latest novel.
So Just Haven't Met You Yet basically starts with the premise of what if you picked up the wrong suitcase at the airport and then you fell in love with the contents and you believed that the person who owned this case was your soulmate. So this is what happens to my heroine, Laura. She goes on a work trip to Jersey in the Channel Islands. And when she picks up the wrong bag at the airport and she opens it in her hotel, she finds all these things inside that just make her believe, oh my God, this is the universe telling me this is the man for me.
Yeah. And then, so as you mentioned, this is set in Jersey in the Channel Islands. And Jersey, to me, really feels like another character in the book. You know, why set it in Jersey first? And did you think about it as being, in a way, another character?
I'm glad you said that because, yeah, it's a big responsibility to write about a place that you live because you want to get it right and you want people to who live here to kind of recognize the place that you've written. And I moved to Jersey 7 years ago from London and just fell in love with the sort of small island life, with the coastal walks, the incredible beaches. And it just felt like a really romantic place to me to set a story. So it's been in the back of my mind as somewhere I wanted to write about. And yeah, I think that definitely comes through as a character in the story because, you know, the sense of place is quite important to Laura. She's come here where she doesn't know anyone to kind of uncover her mm-hmm. family history. And yeah, so I think the island has a real influence on her.
Well, and if you're right, if you get anything wrong, you know all your neighbors are going to call you out. So you
yes.
have to set it.
and actually, as you will have noticed, there's a few jokes about sort of pronunciation in Jersey. And because it's close to France, there's a big French influence. Mm-hmm. And I actually did get a real proper old school Jerseyman to kind of double check the pronunciation for the audiobook because I didn't want to get anything wrong.
So, you know, the book is a romantic comedy. But I have to say you write quite a bit about grief in the book. I mean, for example, Laura lost her mom 2 years ago and you know, it feels like part of this yes work trip is her trying to maybe find some peace or sense of maybe closure in with the passing of her mom and the grief that she feels. And then there's this cab driver, Ted, who takes her around the island and he's dealing with a grief of his own. And then we meet another character, Jerry, Ted's dad, who has Parkinson's disease. And there's a grief in that. And yet at the same time, you know, Jerry talks about just living for today. So when you write a romantic comedy, I think sometimes we forget that there's such bits of real life in it and grief can be such a huge part of people's lives at certain times in their lives.
Yeah. And that definitely is a big theme in the book. I think, you know, Laura's, as you said, her dad died when she was very small. She lost her mother a few years before. And part of where she's at in her life is she's trying to come to terms with the loss of her mother. And she's also mm-hmm. put a lot of stock in objects that remind her of her mum. Her mum used to make jewellery. And, you know, she has a lot of things that have become very treasured possessions because of this link to a parent. And for me, like, I love writing books that have got the light and the shade of life all wrapped up together. So, you know, what some people have said about reading this book is that one minute you'll be laughing at the sort of Bridget Jones style hijinks she gets up to. But on the other, you know, I am trying to explore some serious themes that will hopefully make people kind of think and reflect. And that's the challenge for me.
Mm-hmm. It really took me back to when I lost my own father when I was about Laura's age. And it does. It kind of hits you if you've gone through something like that. I mean, where you can be laughing, you know, as you said, at the hijinks, but at the same time, even in her hijinks though with Laura, I can feel this grief that she is moving through. Is that, I mean, does that just come out as you're writing? I mean, how do you make that so profound in a way?
So it's interesting actually, because some writers, I think, you know, that you fall into two categories of either being a planner or a pantser. And a planner has a very clear idea about what they want their novel to be, and they have it all worked out beforehand. And a pantser is slightly more kind of playing by the seat of their pants and just seeing where the novel takes them. And for me, I usually start with my premise, which in this case was picking up the wrong suitcase. And then from there, though, the story kind of takes itself in its own direction. And I'd never planned the novel to be about grief and memory and objects. And that's just kind of what came out as I was writing Laura. And actually, that's kind of one of the things I'm most proud of about the novel, because I think it's, you know, have had people get in touch and just say it really hit home for them, and it resonated what she was going through. And but yeah, that had not been a plan in the beginning. That just kind of evolved quite naturally.
And there's a line in the book, in it's page 103 actually, and I'd like to read it, because Laura asks, where do you think the love goes when no one's left to tell the story? So where do you think the love goes when no one is left to tell the story? And Ted says to her, he says, quote, "Someone once told me that growing up feeling loved allows you to go on to love other people. Maybe love is simply a huge chain letter passed down through the generations. The details of the stories begin not to matter." And that just really hit me when she asked that question, because I don't think I've ever thought of that. But it is, it's kind of like, oh, when people have passed, you know, how do we continue to tell their stories and their love stories? Again, did that just come to you in the writing? Because there are these moments where the book does to kind of just stop you when you're reading it because of these just lines that resonate so much.
I think, yeah, that's something that's really resonated with me, that feeling. You know, my family is very close family, and there's lots of stories that have been passed down from grandparents and great grandparents. And, you know, my mum particularly is really good on family stories. So she would tell me about how my great grandmother met my grandfather in the First World War. And it's an incredible story. But, you know, when she's gone, if I don't remember it, like, that is, you know, no one's written up a book about my great grandmother, like, that. There was nothing left. And actually, when everyone who remembers the story is gone, where does that great love story go? And it's a really, it's quite a sad, poignant thought, but it does sort of make you. And I also do think, though, that the kind of legacy you lead, if you've loved someone and you've had a healthy relationship and you've other people in the world have seen that relationship, if it's friends or family, that you allow them to see the kind of love they want to aspire to have. And that's kind of what I meant about the chain letter, I think, is that, you know, seeing good relationships kind of creates other good relationships in the next generation. And so that's how we kind of learn how to love people in a healthy way, I think, without getting too profound. I don't know.
Right. And I do love that Laura always wants to know how people met when she meets a couple. You know, how did you meet? And I have to say, like, I always love those stories. It's like, I love finding out how people ended up together, how they met. And so it's just, it's a really, I think, fun aspect of the novel. And it's part of her job, even in the book.
Yeah. So I agree. I also love those kind of stories. If you meet if you meet a couple, that's one of the first things people ask, like, how did you meet? And yeah, she's made that into her job. So she's interviewing couples all the time, and they have these incredible stories of, you know, a firefighter who rescued a damsel in distress, and they ended up getting out together. And it just does mean that Laura has a very, very high bar for what she wants her romantic meeting to be, which is why she gets so caught up in this suitcase idea, because of course, that would be a great way to meet someone. But the book kind of unpacks this expectation and, you know, is that what's really important? And, you know, Yeah, she puts her foot in it at one point where she's telling someone in the book, you know, oh, it'd be really boring if you met someone online and that was your story. And the character's like, I met my husband online.
Right, exactly. So before I let you go, as I mentioned, your first novel, This Time Next Year, hit the New York Times bestseller list. So that had to be, I must imagine, a pretty exciting time. With that said, though, is there a lot of pressure to you know, put another novel out that's going to be received as well?
Yeah, I think it is. I mean, the writing journey generally is, there's a lot of kind of psychological pressure that goes with it, because, you know, if your book's not doing so well, it can be difficult, or if it's doing too well, it can be difficult because of the expectation, you know, so you can't really win. But I think the good thing is I wrote this book before This Time Next Year came out. So, you know, when I was writing this, I didn't have the huge expectation of thinking, oh my God, can I write another bestseller? So I just enjoyed I think the challenge now is the book I'm writing now, because I feel like, yeah, I've written two books I'm really, really proud of. And it's just trying to raise the bar every time. It's very difficult.
Well, I have to say, this has been a lovely novel and I'm really enjoying it. And I appreciate you taking time to talk with us.
Oh, you're so welcome. Thank you so much for having me on. And I'm really glad that you're enjoying the book.
Absolutely. We've been talking with New York Times bestselling author Sophie Cousins about her latest novel, Just Haven't Met You Yet. It is out right now in bookstores. Thanks so much for listening to Idaho Matters. Boise State Public Radio and Idaho Matters are members of the NPR Network. It's an independent coalition of public media podcasters. You can find more shows in the network wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Gemma Gaudette. We'll see you tomorrow.
From an Iraq war cover-up to towns ravaged by opioids to the roots of our modern immigration crisis, Embedded explores what's been sealed off and undisclosed. NPR's original investigative podcast reveals why these stories and the people behind them matter. Listen to the Embedded podcast, only from NPR.